Email latedebate@rte.ie.
Hello again. Claire Scott, we were talking about water before the break, but it's very much a first world problem by comparison to what's going on in Gaza. The ongoing aid blockade there was described in very strong terms by both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste over the course of the last 24 hours. What have they been saying and why?
Yeah, so there was pretty strong statements made today at Dublin Castle, both the Taoiseach and Simon Harris making speeches. Micheál Martin basically outlined that it has been, as we know, about 50 days since food and aid has entered Gaza, and that the current blockade is pushing Gaza closer to a hunger crisis, and essentially this constitutes a war crime. So this is certainly a step up in language from the Taoiseach that we haven't really heard from in a long time. He has used strong language previously, but this does feel like a step up. And the same from the Tánaiste. He said that he was deeply appalled and sickened about Israel's continuing blockade. And he also added that we can't sit idly by, and continue to watch children starve. So certainly this speaks to, you know, perhaps we will see more action than we have seen over the last while in relation to this.
OK. We're going to hear from Mike Ryan in a moment. From the World Health Organization, who lays out the scale of the humanitarian tragedy and also laying it on the line to the audience in Geneva he was speaking to, namely all countries around the world, as to what their obligations are. Here's Dr. Mike Ryan.
We are breaking the bodies and the minds of the children of Gaza. We are starving the children of Gaza, because if we don't do something about it, we are complicit. We are causing this. You, us, and everyone who does nothing about it. And the children of Gaza should not have to pay the price, as all children have done in the past, for the sins of anyone around them. This just has to stop. Any right-thinking human being will stand up and say, this just must stop. And doctor, as a doctor, as a physician, as someone watching more than 1,000 children without limbs, thousands of children with spinal cord injuries and severe head injuries from which they'll never recover. Thousands and thousands of children with severe psychological distress that they may never recover from. We are watching this unfold before our very eyes, and we're not doing anything about it. And as a physician, I'm angry. I'm angry with myself that I'm not doing enough. I'm angry with everyone here. I'm angry with you. I'm angry with the world. This should not be happening. It cannot continue. This is an abomination. It's an abomination.
All right, that was Dr. Mike Ryan of the World Health Organization. Let's hear the Taoiseach earlier speaking at the Global Ireland Conference.
You cannot but be deeply appalled and sickened by the continued...
It has been over 50 days since food, medicines and other essential supplies have not been allowed into Gaza. Israel's continuing humanitarian blockade is pushing Gaza closer to a hunger crisis. This must be lifted immediately. It is simply wrong in principle and in law to inflict hunger and suffering on a civilian population, whatever the circumstances. This behaviour clearly constitutes a war crime.
That was Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Let's hear from the Tánaiste, Simon Harris. We have that audio as well.
You cannot but be deeply appalled and sickened by the continuing blockade of humanitarian aid entering Gaza. Children are starving. Basic painkilling medication cannot be accessed. Hospitals are being bombed. And the scale of death and destruction in Gaza is almost unimaginable and is certainly unconscionable. Now, we cannot and we will not stand idly by and let this happen.
All right, Simon Harris there. Teresa Reedy, that's pretty strong words from the government here. I suppose people listening to that on foot of what Dr. Mike Ryan was saying as well will wonder what action will follow that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to say that Micheál Martin and Simon Harris will not have used that language lightly today. And indeed, it's clear that there was a degree of coordination in terms of what they were going to say. So speaking about war crimes, you know, they're rooting it in, you know, the direct language of the Geneva Convention, which talks about grave breaches and describes exactly what is happening before our eyes today. You know, talks about states engaging in kind of willful abuse of populations, going further, talking about extensive destruction, the illegal and unlawful transfer of populations, you know, all of which is evident in what we see every day. And indeed, it's even tacitly now acknowledged at the weekend. Donald Trump, he kind of almost partially acknowledged that there was starvation at play in Gaza. But yet the people who really have the power to do something about this have done nothing about it. I think in the case of the Irish government, I think it's important to say that the Irish government has been one of the stronger advocates in relation to Palestine and seeking a speedy resolution to the war. But ours is a relatively small voice in the world system. Perhaps the most useful thing we can do is to advocate with our own partners who have the real authority to be able to bring this to an end, and that really is the United States, but also to speak more directly, I think, to some partners within the European Union who, despite everything that is happening and that we see before our eyes every day, remain far too timid in their criticism of Israel, and in fact some won't even countenance that at all. So I think the Irish government, I think it was coordinated. I think that language wasn't used lightly. I think it was very deliberate. I think the government has been relatively strong on this, but you have to kind of constrain that or slightly qualify it by saying ours is a small voice in the world system, right, on this matter.
Okay, under the Fourth Geneva Convention, Article 55 is the obligation on food and medical supplies to the population for an occupying power. I might as well give it to the listeners in full before we continue the discussion. It says, to the fullest extent of the means available to it, the occupying power has the duty of ensuring the food and medical supplies of the population. It should, in particular, bring the necessary foodstuffs, medical stores and other articles if the resources of the occupied territory are inadequate. It's spelt out in black and white in the Geneva Convention what the obligations of the occupying power are. Maeve O'Connell, there is also an obligation. If the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach believe that what is going on is a war crime, under the UN agreement on the responsibility to protect, it says the international community through the United Nations has the responsibility to use appropriate diplomatic, humanitarian and other peaceful means in accordance with chapters 6 and 8 of the Charter to help protect populations from genocide, war crimes, ethnic cleansing and crimes against humanity. What does that look like from Ireland's perspective? What is Ireland going to do to back up now this view that these are war crimes?
Yeah, I think as the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach said today, and as your listeners have heard, it's just escalated to an unbelievable level. I mean, the blockade, children at near starvation, medicines, nothing getting in. It's hard to imagine it could have gotten to this stage. And I mean, nowhere else in the world would this be accepted, that a superior military force can just exercise this level of brutality and unrelenting effort. I mean, yes, the 7th of October attack on Israel was horrific and completely unjustified, but there's no way that this is helping get hostages released. So that's not what is going on here. And I think at the forum today, I think the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach spoke very clearly, and as was said by Dr. Reedy, you know, very much dialed it up a level in terms of calling this war crimes. But she also identified we are unfortunately that small voice, and we have been sometimes the only country highlighting this to our European partners, and we have found it quite frustrating that we are often the sole voice with very little support, highlighting how unacceptable all of this is. So hopefully more people will listen. As Dr. Mike Ryan said as well there, what we need is our EU partners and our international partners to listen, to understand that this is unacceptable. It's always been unacceptable, okay, but we're getting to another whole level, as you've identified.
Okay, Aidan Farrelly. What direct action should the government be taking on foot of this analysis that what has happened here or what is ongoing constitutes war crimes?
Enact the Occupied Territories Bill. And I could speak and speak and speak, and we've heard words today from our Taoiseach, we've heard words today from our Taoiseach, we've heard words today from Mike Ryan, we also heard words today from the Israeli finance minister that said Gaza will be completely destroyed and all civilians will be evacuated. That's the civilians that are left. We've also seen research that shows that a generation of children will be traumatised from events in Gaza and in Palestine. That is a generation of children that haven't yet been bombed, been murdered or been starved by this occupation. So when we hear those strong words in inverted commas from our Taoiseach and our Taoiseach, my initial reaction is, so what are you going to do about it? You're willing to say things, that's fine. What are your actions? Because that's what we'll be judged on ultimately. And yes, we're a small nation. But we're better than this. We're better than words. And when we have actions that we can take and we choose not to take them, it's simply unacceptable to pat ourselves on the back and say we're one of the loudest voices on this.
Okay.
Because the bar is so low, Colm.
Maeve O'Connell, do you want to respond to that? Actions?
Yeah, we've taken a lot of actions. We've recognised the Palestine state. We've given $87 million in aid. Children are being flown into Ireland now for medical treatment, which is a real practical way of helping. So it's more than just words, and I don't accept that. There's been a lot of action taken, and everybody in Ireland is horrified by what's taking place. So action is taking place. The Occupied Territories Bill, listen, I appeal to the common sense of your listeners. And as Dr. Theresa Reid pointed out, we are a small country in the grand scheme of things, and it's not going to stop Israel. It's not going to get the hostages released. Bringing children over and giving them medical treatment and advocating with our partners, international partners and EU partners, to do more substantive efforts is going to make a difference.
Right.
Even last week, the Taoiseach was seeking for additional sanctions and goods to be listed on the sanction list. Again, something practical that will make a real
ourselves.
That will make a real difference, because it will be across the EU.
But again, right. We were just talking about, you know, promises that were made over the course of the election, and the Occupied Territories Bill 10 days out, you know, from that election became such a big, you know, point that, you know, both the Taoiseach and Taoiseach were stressing around that time. And, you know, days after, I think Simon Harris, you know, said that, you know, within the first year of this government, a version of the Occupied Territories Bill was going to be passed. And there's been a huge amount of backsliding since then from both of the two main political parties. And, you know, one of the most consistent protests we all see outside the gates of Leinster House, you know, since this government has been voted in, has been in relation to calls from people to enact that legislation, and it speaks to what was promised to them over the course of the election campaign.
The government is committed to it, but as you are aware, there was elements of it that was designated would be unconstitutional. So we're still waiting for a revised. But the government is very committed to it. But we need to make sure that we can introduce something that's just not going to fall off the first hurdle. That would be more frustrating for the people that we're trying to help, if it just falls.
As small and all as Ireland's voice is, Theresa Reedy, although Ireland will frequently boast on the international stage of how much above its weight it boxes because of its diplomatic expertise, because of its record in peacekeeping, because of its membership of the European Union, Ireland seems confident that its voice is amplified. But the obligations that are on Ireland to do all within its power by diplomatic and peaceful means to prevent war crimes, what actions do you think Ireland should be taking here?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to say that it's Ireland that says Ireland has a large, outsized impact on international affairs, and that our diplomatic weight is greater than our actual size, and that our record of peacekeeping is truly exceptional. Actually, when you dig into the kind of hard facts of that, you know, our numbers on peacekeeping are actually relatively small, albeit that our international peacekeepers are very highly regarded. So I think we do need to be, a little bit realistic about the potential impact that Ireland can have. Our greatest strength is in our membership of the European Union. And there we speak as part of a collective that has huge influence and impact on international affairs. And I think in terms of trying to kind of speak with influence and with outcome rather than just speaking, you know, to the matter, to try and bring about something that happens.
All right, it's but the European Commission hasn't even responded. The European Commission hasn't even responded for Ireland's calls to have a look at the Human Rights Clause in the Association Agreement.
Yeah, and I think that's where there are, like, we have to be aware of how difficult this issue is within Europe. I mean, Ireland is not alone in articulating its views and in speaking every day to the kind of horrors that are unfolding. But at the same time, there are those in Europe who are deeply committed to the Israeli cause and who are willfully looking the other way. And if there's something we can do, it's to try and bring about a greater consensus within the European Union and try to get the European Union to act in a more forceful way in relation to this this conflict. And right. I don't think we're without success here. There is change happening within Europe. We're now hearing that France are potentially going to recognise the state of Palestine. Ireland was not alone in doing so last year. So there are kind of moves afoot, but I think our impact is relatively modest.
Okay.
Could the Occupied Territories Bill have an effect? Potentially, but even its greatest advocates really talk about how the impact is likely to be modest. If we move with Europe as one with Europe, then there is real potential for us to have influence right. and outcome.
Is it time, Maeve O'Connell, for Ireland to stop talking about how influential it is if on the other hand, as you've just articulated yourself, you believe Ireland has very limited influence?
No, we have a lot of influence. We're a small voice, but we do get heard. And we do have influence across Europe, and we have demonstrated support for Ireland over the years, during the COVID years, during the Brexit years. There was great sympathy for Ireland, great support across Europe for each other. So there is a lot that can be done in the European framework. But it is something that we are advocating on, and today's meeting was part of that overall strategy.
What about, for example, the aid flotilla that was struck with drones off the coast of Malta, and there were Irish people involved in that? Should Ireland have been more outspoken with people who are trying to take in defence of people who are trying to take direct action ameliorate the effects of what the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have now described as war crimes?
I can certainly understand why people see the images that we all see every night from Gaza and want to take action themselves in it. And I can certainly appreciate why people are frustrated and want to see more done. I totally understand that.
Right. Aidan Farley, if the Taoiseach has said now that this, you know, what has gone on for the last 50 days in terms of the prevention of aid getting through constitutes war crimes, what's the job of the opposition to find out what that plan of action is? What does your own party intend to do when the Dáil returns and this is an issue of discussion, which it has been since just the aftermath of the 7th of October 2023.
Yeah. And it was one of the first things that we worked on as a parliamentary party to try and bring what was a government commitment to enact the Occupied Territories Bill, to try and understand the roadmap for the government to doing that, and we've seen nothing to date about that. And I don't want to keep repeating myself on it, but it's such a core point, and Therese is, you know, point that it would make, I suppose, a relatively small impact. But what it would do, I think it would symbolise that we're backing up our words with actions, and we're willing to do that as a state. From the opposition, it speaks to that wider point, I think, that we've spoken about tonight. The Irish people, and I can't underestimate, even this evening, in the hour that it took me to come from home to here, the amount of emails I received from people specifically about this tonight, inundated. Irish people genuinely care, and they want leadership from our parliamentarians on this. As opposition, we will do our best to support the government. I acknowledge it's not straightforward. I acknowledge that. But we have to start from a place of political will.
All right.
And we have low-hanging fruit here.
All right. Theresa Reedy, in 1995, when the Oslo Accords were signed, there was 150,000 illegal settlers in the occupied territories on the West Bank. 30 years on, if you include East Jerusalem, there's 3,250,000. Maybe enacting something like the Occupied Territories Bill back in 1995 might have gained some critical mass, might have prevented some of the of what's going on if it had have shown the way, just as, you know, people argue in favour of the Dunn Stores workers showed through their courage that putting sanctions on apartheid South Africa was the way forward.
I mean, I think it's very difficult to answer those kinds of questions. Yes, there is the capacity to show moral leadership in the world. But at the end of the day, we can't get successive American governments to refer to the occupied territories as the occupied territories. You know, they use diluted language, and we really need to be part of a broader coalition to effect change. We can show moral leadership, but I think we have to be kind of aware that we are a minnow in international affairs. And I think it's revolting to say it because of what we are all seeing every day. But this is also a part of, the mix of objectives that governments are trying to realise. And it interacts and intersects with other things that are going on at the moment, like the global trade war and the potential effects on world economies. And it is an immensely uncertain time. And even tonight, there is the potential that there is going to be a significant outbreak of hostilities on the Indian-Pakistani border.
Yeah,
so
India,
this is just one of several conflicts happening in the world, all with immense and atrocious consequences.
All right. That news that's just coming in is that India has fired missiles at Pakistani territory in what is a major escalation of tensions between what are two nuclear-armed powers. Pakistan has also vowed retaliation. That has its roots in attacks in Kashmir in the last week or so. We're going to leave this particular topic with two texts from listeners before we return to you. It says, the occupied Luke texts to say on 51551 to say, the Occupied Territories Bill is just a gesture. I don't know why the left are so hung up on it. We need to see real actions like providing more aid, providing medical treatment, working with EU partners to change policies. And Hannah has contacted us on WhatsApp to say, if enacting the Occupied Territories Bill improves the situation even 1%, then it should be done. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael continually putting economic interests above all else. Absolutely shameful. We'll give Hannah the last word on that one. We'll take a break. We're back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.